Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Y. I'm Hardy Y. Join me now, won't you, for a full hour as we talk together about important things that you usually don't talk about with people on the radio because traditionally they can't hear you. Because radio has, up until now, just been a one-way experience. No longer, I can see you. I have a confession to make. It's a confession to a sin I'm not sure that I committed. But it's one that I thought about committing. And it involves Mr. Rogers, the late TV giant. Oh, he wasn't an actual physical giant. He was a figure of enormous admiration and accomplishment in the field of children's television. And I believe that on the radio, I was tempted to say to people that Fred Rogers began in radio, as a lot of television performers really have, and that it was commercial radio and that his characters were used to shill for products. And he would say things like, "What's new today, King Friday?
Please purchase these items, the following items, from the store I command you."
That kind of thing. But that didn't happen. Fred Rogers never did sell things to anybody. There were no Fred Rogers products. There wasn't a lunch pail that you could get. You say lunch pail, lunch box, lunch pail. People brought things in a pail, a literal pail. Sometimes, back in the day, you'd bring your lunch in anything that you could carry lunch in. And that's where they get the word luncheon. But there were no T-shirts with Fred Rogers' face on them, none that he endorsed. I'm sure in the 60s there was one that said, you know, Fred Rogers, LSD drugs, or something like that. Because it's funny to imagine this kind, benign, sweet, children-oriented person doing something crazy and disruptive or slightly degenerate. But he wasn't like that at all. Oh, no. He was a gentle soul, and he was doing it on so-called public television. Why do you say so-called? I don't know. I'm the public, and I'm not sure that they asked me what I'd like to see. It's fine. I don't need to have a vote. But and I'm not sure they're even using a lot of my money. I don't know why they're calling it public. But sometimes names are deceptive, like National Socialist Party or something. They just take a word. National Broadcast Company, I should have said. But they're... who knows? I'm suspicious of anybody that has to name their organization. What's your organization called? Something scary, I bet. Maybe if it's a bowling team even, I'm suspicious. So can't we just number them or call them by the sponsor? Y'all are just a traditional bank. And if that's too long, Trad Bank is fine to just to put on the jerseys. Oh my goodness. You don't even have to put them on the jerseys. I know who's who. You don't have to have uniforms. That scares me. I'm glad that Fred Rogers had a show without them. But tell me, why would that be a sin, saying that he was on radio? First of all, imagine how boring an all-radio Fred Rogers would be. Now, Flight of the Conchords was on radio, I think, to begin with. And that's amusing. And you can listen to that on a car trip still. But boy, if you have old books on tape and it's Fred Rogers saying, you know, "Look at this. What do you think it is?" And you go, "Oh, I don't know, man. It's a book on tape." So I was just jesting. But to think that he was selling something, what's wrong with selling things? Nothing. Oh, there's nothing wrong with advertising. But today I'm going to talk about the slippery slope away from neighborliness hoods. Neighborhoodness. Being a good neighbor. Or just getting along with folks. And now, I think some of it's been spoiled. Who spoiled it? Well, why point fingers? That's the thing. You know, you come across, let's say you go down in your basement and it's filled with feces. And you go, "I don't think this is not human feces." you know, this is elephant or something, and you start trying to point blame, just get it out of there. It's not important. Even if you find the elephant, what are you going to do? Give it a stern talking to? You're going to revenge? You're going to put the poo back in the elephant? Sometimes you just clean it up, move on. And I'll explain that, why that's important as well. Oh, my goodness. You don't have to explain things, Hardy. Otherwise, I'd have nothing to say. And I'm going to probably do fun voices. Because that's another thing. You may be on a long car trip. And it is incumbent upon me to say something entertaining. I'm also so sorry my chair is squeaking. There's not a lot I can do about that. And I'm a very animated person. Or fidgety. And it means that all sorts of sound effects, just butt foley is what I call it, comes out of my chair sometimes. And then, I'm not adding it. Y'all think, he probably adds it because he's meta like that. He'll add sound effects that we just think are going on in the background, you know. Instead of, I'll just record all the vocals in perfect quietness, right, in a soundproof room. And then I will add, like me setting a glass down on my desk. That I put in later. Because I want it just to be just right. And nobody has a perfect recording. Doesn't exist. And it's not a perfect person. Is there? Maybe there is. Oh, well. Never not nominate yourself. I'm nominating me. I hope it's probably not me. But maybe I am. I don't know. I don't want to undersell myself. That's the dumbest thing you can do. How do you know your worth? You can get an estimate. You can go. It's just like getting old jewelry, estate jewelry, valued. Because you get insured, right? So if they insure you, they have to figure out how much you're worth. So I would just ask a competent insurer person. Or what do you call the actuary? Find one. They have them in the phone book. There'll be signs up, actuary work. We buy used diabetes strips and actuary work, cell phone repair. And I see those posters everywhere. Just take advantage of it. Now, Mr. Rogers wasn't selling something because he needed to speak to people at a very intimate level about sort of moral things. Now, that's a word that scares people away. Oh, you're not going to talk about morality, are you? No, I would never literally do it because the word has been abused. Oh, the poor word. Oh, my goodness. It's, lots of words that have been ruined. I feel like all of them, except for things like and but and conjunction, junction is just that's the best song there is, should be the only song. It's the only one that makes sense. As you link things together. Who knows what you're linking together? I don't know what I'm linking. I may be Lincoln. I don't even know that. I am jealous of people who say they're reincarnated and remember it, because I don't. And I'm thinking, am I new? Or am I just, I keep being forgetful and dumb or something?
You're everything. You forget every life. I do. And I'm learning nothing. Therefore, you've had to repeat a grade several times.
Oh, I hope that's not it. If it is, I can imagine it is, because that's the stuff of my nightmares. There I am in school again, pants down, just like it really was. I was the only one. I was not permitted to wear pants in school. And also, I just remember spitting my teeth out the whole time. Whether these are real memories or not, I'm not sure. But they're the ones that I have. Oh, my goodness. That's what you go to life with, is the memories you have, not the memories you want to have or will have or think you would like to have or aspire to. When we became savvy about selling people things, we realized that sometimes the market would become quickly saturated by people that needed the thing. So let's say I have a thing called the play toy item. And I have my play toy item, and a lot of people buy it, and then that's it. And I've made it durable, unfortunately. Market kind of runs dry. Now I turn to my weird friend who's into sort of psychology and money. And I say, what can I do to get people to buy more of these? Say, make them feel like they need it. say, "You like fun, right?" Now, this has been going on for a long time, even before advertising everything. It's a bally. You know, you sell somebody, "Step right up, come on. I got this elixir here." "What? You're going to elixir?" "I said elixir. It's something you rub on yourself. You rub it on your head. You got a tingly feeling. You wake up tired." Things like that. You know, "You hungry before meals?" And that's the kind of selling. You say, you need this. And that went on for a long time. And then they realized that envy and sort of, not envious, what came before envy? Before envy became shame. So you could say, shame somebody into not having it. "You don't have a play, so-and-so? Your neighbor's going to think you're an idiot." I like my neighbors. I want to impress them." "Well, you need a play toy, fun thing." So you shame them into get it because they respect and love their neighbors. And then comes envy. They say, "You know, your neighbors have one." "They do? Are they better than you?" "No, they're not better than me." And you get them to envy the neighbor because they have the play fun toy. You sell even more play fun toys. And then came the worst thing of all. And that was fear and hate the neighbor. And use that and grievance to create a market for a thing. Now we're selling you our tactical play toy. And it can defend against, "You don't know much about that neighbor." "I don't." "Well, I can help you out a little bit here." "Oh, here, just put up, you know what I got for you? I got a protecting system." "Yeah, what should it involve?" "Well, it involves, what have I got to sell?" "Musical instruments." "Musical instruments can be used for self-defense, especially the inexpensive ones." Now, you've seen the musicians out there on the stage. They get angry, they get all wound up there, and they take the guitar and they smash it. And you say, "That would really hurt somebody if you would hit them with it." That's absolutely correct. And you need to protect yourself against an imminent threat of what? People that don't like folk music. I don't know who you'd hit with a guitar. I don't want to hit anybody. But sometimes you get really mad and want to hit, like the Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street. And he hits. He hits his therapist. You don't remember that. Go watch it. I'm not lying. That's Santa. That's the one that goes on trial for being mentally ill. Hits his therapist. Hits him, I think, with like a cane or something. Like, what? So, that's not my Santa. I can't be gentler than Santa. And I'd laugh at him or make some stuff up. You know what I've been doing up there in the chimney. But I wouldn't hit him or anything. That's a self-control issue, I think. And I don't want that individual coming into my home through some vulnerable entrance like my chimney flue. Now, not even a bird can get down the one I have, so I don't know how he's going to do it. But you know that sometimes they transformogorize or something like that. Harney, are you going to tell me how I can be a good neighbor? And I think that neighborliness is the key to delivering. I'm not going to leave this world without spreading something and a good message of love and light. And that's neighborliness. Boy, my heart is elevated. The neighbors brought me some cookies the other day to make up for their dog biting me. I just met their dog and it bit me. And I said, "Don't worry about it." And I was bleeding and everything. I say, "It's, you know," and they said, "Oh, we didn't like Amish." And I said, "No, you know, it's just a beard. Is it not? I have a mustache. I don't understand, but that's all right. First of all, I'm not making any of this up." And then they brought me nice cookies and everything. And I felt so warm and I felt affection for them. And I said, "I don't care who you are. I want your proximity to me means that we have cast our lot into the same boat. And so we're going to have to get in the boat to go read the lots, because that's what a lot is." Then you look and say, "Oh, I won or I lost." And lots, or Purim. So we have lot. We're given lots in life. We're also given lots in life. Some of us aren't given lots, but we're all given lots. So That's something I had on a t-shirt. It was very confusing because they're also spelled alike as well as being homophones. Now, my goodness, if you have come here to learn something, I don't have anything like that. I just have cookies, and there might be stale cookies or candies. There might be stale candies, or there might be hard candies that have become congealed. And now they look like a geode. Now, funny I should say that because, well, it's not funny I should say that. It'd be funny if you said it, but here's why me saying it isn't funny. I don't know that I'm a great neighbor because I've just started a mining operation in the backyard. I'm looking for, well, I don't even know what I'm looking for. That's why it's even more insulting because I'm digging up the earth, going down there looking for stuff. I don't know whether I'm going to find gold, but even if I find the bones of some old convicts or something, I could set up a tent and then people come look at it. If we're going to, I think there are some things that are omitted from the culture right now that shouldn't be, because I would love our standards to be high in some things, but then other things, I think they're too high. For instance, I think that you should be able to show off something and say it's like the mummy of a fairy or a mummy of a leprechaun. It's a leprechaun mummy. And I think you should be able to travel around making money from that. People come in and you should be able to take their money and say it's a leprechaun mummy. Now, why would you want that? That's going to make people stupid. No. I think what it is like, if you're going to have people that would believe that, it's a sort of tax. And I think it supports an economy. And we used to have that with carnivals and things like that. And what it does is it motivates people not to be suckers. I think it's like sucker college. Go to be fooled like that over and over again. You're going to, you know what? I think there's a larger lesson here. What am I doing? To what degree do I not know myself that I'm here at the fair taking a shot with a crooked rifle? I know this is all fixed for some thing I don't really want. How did I get talked into wanting this worthless thing? And that's a wonderful lesson. You leave the fair, you go, I've survived it. I mean, there's a reason that it's all the iconography is nightmarish. Ooh, scary clowns! You're not to remain in the circus. The circus is something that you have to go through. And then but you never go back again. It's like, man, for a lot of people think that with LSD. That's enough. My eyes are open. How they're going to get more open? You know, now I'm just digging into, now I'm prying them apart. So it's open, I'm open. Woo, okay. Everything is possible. You know, no, let's do that again, but drunk. No, I've seen now, I see clear. I don't need to go back to the fair or anything, re-experience it. It's a lovely thing to move on. Oh, my goodness. And that's a good thing about stages of life. I've appreciated all the ones I've been in. That's why I don't have a lot of my toys anymore, because I'm old. And it's not that I don't like toys, and I want children to have them. And I love going to toy shops, and I go, oh, I remember not having that one. But I don't need to own it now, because I had that pleasure when I was a child. They had special magical qualities. Now they don't as much. Now other things fascinate me. And unfortunately for the economy, I'm not as moved by large ticket items as I was. And so I'm kind of worthless. And the TV knows that because it shows me nothing but drug ads for chronic conditions, most of which I don't have. But it's like, all right, well, if you're not getting a new car, I guess you're dying of something. Well, maybe not. I'm still living, as far as I know. I guess I am. Sometimes I worry about that. Have you ever been in a social situation and you say somebody something and nobody looks at you or responds? You go, ah, I'm ghost dadded. I'm ghost dad. I'm going to fall through the floor or something like that. I almost said like Bill Cosby, but he's not known for falling through the floor as Ghost Dad much anymore. I wonder who is. Who's a ghost? Who's a famous ghost? I don't know. That's hard to know. I have to ask some friends who are ghosts. I got to get some more detection equipment. Mine's not working. I've had cameras set up. Please come haunt me. Get my dreams. Things come to me in my dreams. All sorts of demonic things from other universes. But gosh, no ghosts. And that's disappointing to me. I know they exist because we have the cuneiform tablets with the what to do if you've got ghost problems. And there's lots of things. You know, I've talked about that because the Irving Finkel has a book about it. If you're interested in that, I highly recommend it. Ba-dum-bum. Oh my goodness, I wouldn't mind. That's a childish thing that I don't mind bringing into the my old age. I may not have my toys and I may not have my nostalgia for stupid movies, but one thing I can bring from is a love of reading. I still love reading and find it impossibly difficult and have to wait until I'm going through a certain phase. And then I'll read a bunch of books and then none for a while. Isn't that interesting? But then my attention's drawn to other things, like being depressed, and I want to concentrate on that. And then I'll get back to reading and enjoying life. But, you know, I have to brood for a while. Sometimes I think, maybe you're a cicada, and because I've heard the word brood used. And I feel like I burrow into the ground for years, and I lose track of them. And then I pop up and I'm fine. I go, this is incredible. This is amazing. And I fly around. And then this giant wasp called a cicada killer jumps on me. And I go, a new friend. And then it stabs me. No, that hasn't happened to me. My goodness. But it does happen to cicadas. I have also the experience of feeling like I'm just a shell clinging to a tree. You know, Hardy, you know, is that really him? It's Hardy, but it's made of I don't know what it's made of. It's made of like fingernail or something. Something repulsive. I'm glad that doesn't happen to us. I can't imagine. Can't you imagine seeing a friend from behind? You go, Larry. Hey, Larry. And you tap him on the shoulder, but it's just Larry's husk. Larry's, because he's shed or something. And then he's I'm behind you. Oh, Larry, man, I thought your husk was you. I would like to not only give ideas of how you can be a good neighbor, but demonstrate it too. There's nothing better than demonstrating something. If you've got a grievance, let's get all our. First of all, it's a physical state sometimes, being bereaved and. I call it engraved, like it's your engraved. It's been etched into you. You have determined the sources of your anger and pain. And they're conveniently, perhaps, serving somebody else better than you. I like to make my own enemies. I do it better. My homemade enemies are better than the ones that you adopt. Something you should adopt like puppies, but other people's enemies, you shouldn't adopt, you should make your own. You know, that is one thing I advocate for. You go, oh, there's enough enemies. Yes, but yours are better than the ones you adopt because you don't know, right? You don't even know if they're enemies. All right, so let's begin with some just real basic breathing. I've learned this from going to physical therapy for my hip and both of my feet and other areas. And I'm realizing that sometimes it's tiny little muscles or tiny little motions or things that I need to strengthen or work on, and they just take, you know, a very short, concentrated effort, but you've got to do it regularly. And one is to breathe deeply, and if you got, you know, you're alone, if you need to let some wind out or anything, you're like, I want to breathe deeply, but I'm afraid I'll have some gas. But that's okay if you're by yourself. I'm not, though. Where are you? You know, it's weird because I feel I'm surrounded by people, but I'm alone. All right, well, go let it rip. Now, take a big deep breath, especially if you're in a car. This is great. You're not going to take a deep breath and fall asleep, because it's actually going to wake you up. A lot of times you're tired because your breathing is very shallow. It's up here. You're panting like that.
And if you take more deeper breaths like that, your
friends will think you're weird. Maybe go somewhere halfway. Stay a little bit anxious and tense. But if you breathe too deeply, everybody's going to say, you know, why do you sound like B. Arthur? And you go, okay,
Because suddenly my diaphragm is where, oh, I'm from the 80s or 70s. I want to make jokes,
but your diaphragm really is this thing in muscle in your sides. I'm not going to go into the technical stuff. I'm glad I don't have a YouTube channel where I have to teach people things, because that's a lot of wiki pages that you have to read. And that is 90% of what I see on YouTube, is somebody who read a wiki page, now is teaching it to you. And I love that for somebody who's like, sum it up with slides. Then it's great. But really, you probably, if that's all you're going to do, go ahead and read the first one. Because just to hear it relayed to you with some of the new speech patterns that people are using is horrifying to me. And I love it. I love all the new things that people are doing with their voices. But there's a built-in insincerity that I am not used to. There's a weird artificial quality. And I don't know how to describe it. But when a lot of the YouTube people sound like there's a new accent that's not regional, it's internetian. There's emerging, at least in English, internet English, and or social media English or TikTok English, and it's different. And as someone who grew up with radio and TV English, this is a different. It's a different animal, and it is an animal. We think about it as not being that, but it's really alive, and it eats and vacates its little weird, not metaphorical bowels. Did you know most concepts are living things? That's why that's what angels are. Angels and demons are the physical manifestations of a very limited concept. Ate too many melon balls. Is that a demon or an angel? That's a little demon. He's not terribly bad. But what's another? Oh, there's, you know, anything you can think of is just a general concept. Is a living thing there, out there in another universe. And it has, it's just like you and me, except it's shaped differently and doesn't work or think the same. How do we know it's alive? Well, you just know. Some things you just know. Like lies or things that are false. I just feel them. But it is important for some things to be true. I try to keep that, all my surface contacts, for like with my neighbors, that they were to ask me a question, I'm reluctant to lie to them. There are some things that I've done to neighbors that are unfair. Like sometimes I did put a part of a fence well onto my property so that the two large sewer manholes would not be accessible through my yard, but would force the weird guys who come and look down them occasionally. Why weird? I've seen the honeymooners, and our carny's not weird. Well, yeah, yes, he is. And two, our guys are, and they like to traipse, and that's what they do through yards when they're repairing things. And so I sort of like gifted these two manholes to the other neighbor. Say, they're all yours. You can have that extra property, and you can do things. I could put little flower pots on them or something. The kids can use them as stages. Look at me. I perform it all. Because they're elevated. They're a little elevated. They stick up on a little plinth. I guess you'd say a cement plinth. And so that a child can stand there like a statue and do some fun things. Children love puppets, I think, especially ones that are grotesque or or traditional Japanese ones that are really large. They love that kind of stuff. And any horror things, and like to be scared, because it's when you're scared in a safe environment, it helps you deal with real life scare. You go, oh, I've been through this before. Well, you haven't though, but at least you feel somehow trained for it. That's what training is, not the real thing. But you know, whenever someone's going to say, oh, I won't take you out for fast food, I say, wait, I have to train a little bit, and I'll eat out of the garbage can, or I'll eat foam. And then when I go, I'm ready. Because I think, like the power eaters, the people that eat for Kobayashi or whatever and all, they eat for competitions. They train, they expand their stomach, they put stuff in it, they make their bowels bigger. So to accommodate all that stuff, which you're now putting in for cynical reasons. Oh, this is fine. Oh, my goodness. I don't want you to do it because I don't want you to get hurt. But if, my goodness, I don't really want anybody to do it. Perhaps I should unsubscribe to the pie-eating contest channel or whatever it is, because I might be making it worse. You know, who doesn't like bare-knuckle backyard fights? But they never end well. And it's not fair to anybody. There's better, safer ways to do it. And, you know, I think I would rather... If you've done... This is the thing I didn't get. If your name is Kimbo Slice, you should be selling pies, not getting hit in the face. So I guess he was doing more face hitting than getting hit in the face. But then he switched. He goes, I'm going to upgrade and get hit in the face. Then he did. Now he's dead. But I don't think it was related. But that... I really wish he had sold pies. Oh my goodness. I want to bring you one. Is that all right? I don't really eat pie. It's not for eating. This is a symbolic pie that I made just to demonstrate my affection and devotion for you. And I'm saving up for a real pie, and I'll bring that over when you do something nice for me. No, that's not true. Oh my goodness. I don't mind making myself a little vulnerable and being silly as a way of building friendships, and you care about somebody. It's really harder than to be a jerk when you got to look somebody in the eye and everything. Oh, I hope you have a group of people that loves you, that you're surrounded. If not, it's a good thing to recognize that some people don't have, you know, people around them to care. And I would love to be that. I'll be all your neighbors. Here, I'll do a bunch of voices and everything. I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. Okay, I'm out of them. But imagine a many, many people. And, well, you don't know me. How can you say that you love and care about me? Well, I'm trying to jumpstart your self-love, like sourdough starter or something. Maybe I get it in there, get it going. Like when you push a car going, you know, and say, put it in, pop the clutch in second gear. All of a sudden it starts going. It just needed a little momentum. And that's what I try to give you. So if you say, well, if Hardy loves me, then you can go out. I'm one of those tires, those temporary tires that you put on. Oh, I got a flat. I got no support system. I have nobody. I need to feel like I belong, or whether I have you know, that I'm needed. Well, I need you. And then you put that on. That's a little, it's barely sufficient to get you where you're going. But then once you get going, you can get a proper tire. I'm worried. Hey, just be helpful. You'd be surprised how many people will be there right by your side. You know, you don't have to find soulmates. Find people that share a value, some really basic one, like kindness or something, and not in a phony way. And it doesn't take, like, you can get in the habit of helping people out, or looking out for their needs or something. If you're a small enough community, you know you've done it. You know, I know that Witterboro needs to bring a do her lawn, and also She had a loss. Her sister died, so we're bringing her not only a casserole, but also a television. I don't know why, but I guess she wants a television.
It's things like that, the big communities looking out for one another. And I would love to be that. I can't buy you anything. But maybe you should be moving away from that, about objects doing it for you. And, oh, I fall prey to it just like you do. I'll be, oh, I've got to right now. I got to go on eBay and I got to get that that Elmo Hope album. No reissue. Not that there are any. I don't know. But, like, I need to get that original printing. And those jazz sides will be my downfall. But they really do bring me joy. That maybe is different. I don't know. I think if you're collecting certain records, run them by me first, though. I want to make sure your taste isn't all messed up and everything. Run them by me and say, yes, that's well, very pretentious, the jazz stuff. It isn't, though. I got to tell you, yeah, please come listen to it with me. There isn't. It's very accessible, and it just moves you. It'll get you excited intellectually and spiritually and everything. You can at your local library, you can read about jazz and the history of jazz. Gdunk-gunk.
Butterfly in the sky. It flaps its wings and why. And now there is a hurricane in Brazil, or something like that. Isn't that chaos? Oh, I love it. Everything. Here's a Mr. Rogers song that I love. And I'm not sure I agree with it, but I love it nonetheless. And it goes like this. Everything grows together because you're all one piece. Your eyes grow as your nose grows, as your ears grows, as your fingers grows, because you're all one piece. And or something like that. It adds things, you know, it's like recursive. Like the house that Jack built. Or Had Gaya. My father bought for two Zuzum Had Gaya. Had Gaya. And then comes the angel of death, who ate a piece of ox. And the house that Jack built, he spilled the grain, and the mouse ate it up. And that's how the universe works. That's how I learned it. But by adding something each time, you can do that with friendships. And you add something, a little time you embellish it. Did you ever see that rhinestone stud and rhinestone setter? I think it was maybe Ronco made it. And you could take an ordinary jean jacket and bedazzle it, basically, with this, the rhinestone stud and stones setter. Oh, my gosh. When I realized that, you could take anything, sort of make it customized, make it better, and build on it. I'd say, I want to do that with my friendship. I'm going to start getting wigs for my friends or something because I'm getting bored with their hairstyle. No, that's not true. That's up to you. If your friends are somebody long enough, their hair changes, either falls out or goes gray, or they might get a nutty hairstyle. It's like, oh, you're wearing it kind of different now, aren't you? Yes. What do you call that, Pete? Oh, I got it. It's Lucinda Dickey, circa 84. Oh, that's an interesting choice. But it's very feathery and everything. I love it. There is, hairstyles are beautiful. I never would mock somebody for being creative with the human body. My goodness, do what you want. Now, I don't do a lot of embellishing. I have few to no tattoos, and I don't have many. I don't think I have any piercings. I don't know. I check every morning because I have allergies. Sometimes I'll scratch myself in my sleep. And I always think, oh, what if I scratch through something? And then after I've scratched through it, something falls into it. Let's say I've scratched through my nose and then like some kind of gold stud or a ring or something falls in, or my ear, like some big pluggy thing, like a piece of bamboo could fall right in there.
And people would think, oh, I see what you're doing, some kind of statement. And I go, no, I didn't even know that was there this morning. That happened in school one time. I had scratched my eye in my sleep, and I didn't know it. And I guess, I don't know why I didn't look in the mirror or something. You know, you leave late, and then you get to school. And I might have been, I think I was 16, so I was driving the family car to school. And I got to school, and I guess my eye was all blood, like dripping blood. And this real pretty girl sat next to me, and she went, oh, get out of your face, like that. And boy, that stuck with me. And so I still feel like, to this day, I still feel when most people look at me, I've got some gouged out eye. It's bleeding. And that's just me. But that's because, you know, some memories, they really remain. They have a good endurance, like a perfume, you know. So I don't like a good silage. You can smell it from a distance, but also good endurance. And it lasts a long time. Shame. I try not to feel much of it because it will get me to buy things I don't need. I'm for deodorant. That's one of the things they tried to shame me into buying, and that lines up, though. That's a good kind of shame. Say that would be helpful. Co-workers and everything, say, yes, we're all for that. Too much, you can go too much perfume or something. You don't want to do that to your co-workers. They might be sensitive to that. I don't mind helping out by not, you know, smelling too bad. I will say that I was really disappointed at physical therapy because I had on, and I can't afford a lot of it, so I get these little samples and everything, right? So I had on Tom Ford Tobacco Vanille, which is incredibly expensive, only worn by rich people and me pretending to be. I'm not pretending to be anything. I just want to smell good, and I'm broke. So I get these little bits of it, and I always put some on before I go to the PT, and they're not allowed to wear anything because they don't want to offend anybody, but I don't want to offend anybody with just my au naturel, which I just imagine, like now. But I wonder how I smell. The dog has been out in the sun for 2 seconds. It's repulsive. I can't imagine. So I put a little of this on. I know how much to wear. I didn't put too much on. So he's working on me. He said this, and this is when it broke my heart and I got sick. He said, you smell like cloves. And I just started to cry uncontrollably. And I said, F you, like that. No, I didn't say that. I said, oh, that's weird because this is a very expensive scent. I was trying to explain to him. I sounded so awful. Talked to him about high-end perfumes and everything. He didn't want to hear that. His Malibu had just broken down for the second time, and it's time to get a new car, and I don't have a car. He said, what type of car do you have? I said, I don't have one. And he looked at me crazy, but I said, I don't want to go anywhere. I go to the airport sometimes because I have, you know, I perform around the world. A lot of y'all think, oh, he's just some kind of country bumpkin radio person. This is the only place. Oh, no, no. Oh, I travel globally. I give lectures, various speeches at school, mainly at colleges, where I do college humor and pretend to pour things down my pants like energy drinks. And then sometimes I'll do at some avant-garde spots. I'll do something kind of performance art, do a little stand-up. I've played Chuckles and Ha-Ha's and the Comedy Boob, which is shaped like something in the anatomy. All these things, because my message is this. I don't know why I don't do any of those things. I'm sorry I'm lying to you. I don't know. I wish I could just be myself. You're enough the way you are, Hardy. I think I am. But I feel a little guilty because I do want my neighbors to like me. And I think there's over there thinking, you know, I don't think he's productive enough.
I know. How does he call himself an artist if he doesn't produce?
Well, he does. But here's the, I mean, what standard are we going by?
I know. I'll tell you, a pretty modest one.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I could change the world. That's what I'm doing. I think I'm shooting for a hole in one. I'm going for a bullseye.
and I'm swinging for a home run. And I know the smart way to do it is just like, just keep getting those singles and everything like that. No. It's too late. I can't. Now I got to go for the home run. I'm going big. I'm going to go ahead and change the world. Hardy White, how are you going to do that from a small New Jersey radio station in the state of New Jersey, in the country of United States of America, in the neighborhood of, it goes on and on. You could keep, I don't like when people do that. And Jersey, I'll go smaller. Jersey City, Montgomery Street. It's on a, what do they call that place? Native people called it something. Hell Pit of Stink, I think, is where it was built on. That's long filled in, thank goodness. A lot of places like that in Manhattan, too. You know, this was a fetid pond. And then now it's just below the surface. There's always a fetid pond or a polluted river, just always right below the surface of yourself. And it is time to rip off that thing that's been built over it. Don't trust it anymore. The only reason that that pond and that river's polluted is because it's been covered up and it hasn't seen the light of day. Oh, your real self is in there. The real self that longs for great relations with others. Not like that, but, you know, longs for universal love. Not the sappy kind, but just the getting along kind. Man, it's a beautiful thing. You can imagine. If you can imagine it, it can happen. It doesn't have to be dramatic. Don't be talked into, you know, talked out of trying to do great things that you want and then talked into doing other people's great things. That's a waste. Go your whole life doing that. I'm going to do other people's great things. Good for you. Well, I have to live and survive. Well, let's... really do, let's see. We'll think about it. Keep living and surviving, but keep doing great things at the same time. Can you do that? I don't know. We're going to have to think, not just outside the box, but, you know, let's get out of the box, and you'll see that you're in a room. Get out of the room. Now what? Well, now you're still in a hallway. Get out of the building.
I'm out of the building.
You out of the building? Get out of town.
I'm out of town. Now where am I?
You're asking me, where are you?
I don't know. I don't have any frame of reference.
You do have a frame of reference, and it's you. There doesn't have to be a box. You can make the box so large it becomes irrelevant. All of the universe can be your box. You can expand your thinking beyond that. You don't have to use this limitations. Oh, the limited imagination is that we're all dying from it. Because we all think there's one way to do things, and it all just, now it's tending towards a cynical way. It's tending towards a cynical and hurtful way. And we're limited. We think that's the way it must be. Oh, people suck. That's like part of it. People also don't, you know, and, trees suck and don't suck, and all sorts of things are awful and not awful at the same time. And, the past will trap you in the dead. The dead want you to continue to do their bidding. There may not be ghosts, but I feel like I hear the voices of the dead and the living all the time. And I know that we have no choice but to inherit things, but also... there's lots that we can discover on our own, you know. You don't have to take the inheritance if it's nasty. If somebody leaves you saying, well, they left me this rotten chicken sandwich, you don't have to eat that. You can go out and make a new sandwich. And everybody in every generation have their own sandwich. You don't have to go eat that old one. Well, but, yeah, no, circumstances change. That's the thing. If you were being tested... if you were really, like, if you had any goal of being, let's say, a moral person, or you had some, just a personal behavior tenet or something, a way of conducting yourself, you have any beliefs like that. And they were going to be tested. Do you think that it would be something obvious that you could, kind of cheat to answer? Well, I know if this happens, I'm going to do this. Or do you think it would be some kind of fresh situation where you have to really assess stuff and kind of think into the future independently all the time? Oh, my goodness. It isn't, don't feel oppressed by having to guess what your neighbor might want to eat.
Well, I don't know what they're, I'm just going to serve them whatever.
No, why don't you ask them the kind of things they like to eat? Let's say they don't eat meat.
The vegetarians, or I'm on a good, they'll just get what I give them.
But what if you wanted to make them happy?
Why would I?
Well, let's say you want to live in harmony and peace, and you want them to love you and help you out sometimes. Well, let's think about that. Maybe be creative within those limitations.
All right.
Well, you don't know why they made that particular choice, and, for you to become so angry when it's no skin off your back. Hey, give a little, get a little. So let's give them, have a beautiful feast of corn and radishes or something, and with a sauce made out of something that's not meat, and try to show them a good time and honor them. And, oh, the thing that you will get back in return.
What if I don't?
Nonsense. You do a lot of things with any guarantee. You go to Vegas, don't you? Some things you got to win, you got to take a chance. And the same thing with relationships and things like that. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes you got to put yourself out there. I want to make friends. Sometimes I got to just open my heart, put myself out there. Will I be rejected? Yes. Same thing with things I think are funny. Will some people not laugh at things I want them to laugh at? Yes, they will not. And does that make me feel bad? Yes. Should I protect myself against feeling bad by never doing the thing? No, because the bad feeling goes away and it's replaced by the good feeling of somebody else thinking it's funny. And, oh, look at you giggling. You're the one. I'm going to latch on to you now. That's on you, giggly. I'm going to come right for you now. Hello. So that's how I do it. And then I concentrate on those I can help and those I can serve and those who may find me helpful or amusing. And if you don't, well, I'm silly and immature, so I that's upsetting because I fancy myself, a perfect sort of like broadcast God. And I can't believe that anybody could deny my greatness. No, that's not entirely true. What you're doing is you're just exposing my greatest fear, and that is that, that I might suck or something. But here's the thing, if you do anything, if you're appreciated by anybody, you're appreciated. There's no degrees. Well, there's 10 people, 100 people, 1,000 people. Okay, let's say 1,000 people like what you do, but there's potential for more. So, what's going on? Have you succeeded? Are they wrong?
Well, I'm obviously not doing something right.
Well, they think you are. So what's going on there? So no matter if anybody appreciates you, one person is 10, is the same as 100, is the same as 1,000. If you go for numbers,
everybody has to like me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you're going to fall faster because they don't know who you are. You will make yourself insane trying to be everything to everybody. And I just don't think that's how it can work. I think it only works that way if your end goal is to make an X amount of dollar for each one of those. If you've looked at that number and thought, what if that was a dollar sign?
I got 1,000 listeners. What if that was $1,000?
That kind of thing. So, I can say as much as I want. I could maybe, I'm trying to think of the things that I could do and still keep my show. Nothing hurtful. But I could make like raindrop sounds on my cheek for the next 10 minutes. Well, 6 minutes. Next 6 minutes. It's this darn beard. If I shave the beard, will the neighbor's dog like me? I thought about that, but then is that a betrayal to my Amish brothers? But I'm not Amish, but I mean, if the dog thinks I am enough that it bit me, I mean, maybe I smell like, I don't know what they smell like. What have they been working with? Hay? I don't know. We have some around, I guess in Pennsylvania maybe. There's Amish people around here. I'm thinking what they do. What do they smell like? Black paint? And I don't know what they harvest. Grain? Can you just smell like grain? What grain do you smell like? I can't put my finger on it. What am I smelling? Amaranth. It's not amaranth. It's, what is it? It's, is it rye? It might be. Not the whiskey, but just the plain old, like, rye. It smells like a deli. It's rye. I love that. Oh, it's spicy. Rye's a little bit spicy. When you use it in whiskey, it's spicy. Some bourbons, in addition to, corn and, some barley, will use rye or wheat. We call the wheat ones wheaters or wheated whiskeys, and the rye ones rye or rye bourbons. Let's see what else. You know who stopped by is Mike. Not Mike. What's his name? What's the one with the big horns on it? Satan. Satan came by and he said, "Oh, Hardy White, I'm tempting you. I want you to become complacent. I want you to become cynical. I will make you the greatest radio personality of all time, and all you have to do is find a..." What word are you struggling for, Satan? I don't know. Give me a minute. I was going to say gin up, but that's not strong enough. Foment? Foment! Yes. Fear and hate. Fear, foment. I'm writing this down now. So if I foment fear and hate, if this is one of those contracts where I go out of my way, I foment fear and hate, and then you don't pay off because of some stupid wording or anything like that. It's not one of these. No, no, no. Do you know what Satan means? Ha-Satan, the advocate. The advocate. I'm just a lawyer. I'm a lawyer. I'm not going to use legalese. Well, wait a minute. Oh, my goodness. The great Satan. What is the great Satan? I don't know. I think might be this tendency we have to put ourselves as judges over other people and to condemn. I see so much condemning. I'm not saying that, well, they deserve it. Well, I don't know who they is. And if you feel like that you can do that in your heart, punish and prison and even kill, I guess you know what you're doing. I wonder if you've searched your heart adequately. I wonder if you know the people you think you know. I wonder if you really know the things you think you know, because, oh, when those things pass through us, those strong things, the paths the demons take, they cut through our yard sometimes, these demons. Who are they serving? Where are they trying to get to? Is it some new delivery service that's been arranged? They're using your property to cut through? They're using you. And now you're going to find yourself defending them, but you don't get anything out of it. Nothing. You get nothing out of it. Chase them off your property, these demons. Oh, chase them off. How do you do it? With more demonic hate? No, with love. I chase you off away with love. I declare my love for other human beings and those who have been born into this world in the same predicament. Oh, my goodness. All of you souls valuable. I send my radiant soul out into the world to embrace all of your hearts and ask you to feel that love for one another and that tenderness for one another as we suffer together in this world. Oh, may we end it. Oh, please, on the count of three, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County in New York City, New York, and online at WFMU.org. Worldwide, the freeform radio that you've come to think is that, you know, that.
Oh, it's so good to see you. Stay tuned for Mahogany with Bailey.
Twins, Negroes, Ebony, 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 Ebony